Take your Bibles, if you would. Again, to Matthew chapter 13. I told you last week that the sermon didn't quite get finished. So we need to make sure we get that done. So Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. As soon as you found your place, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we're going to read together. I'll read the odd verses, and you'll read the even verses with me out loud. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. I'll start, and you'll join me on verse 2, and such and so forth. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came up and devoured them. And some fell on stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up, and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing not, see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the word by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So last week I began a message entitled, A Sower Went Forth to Sow, out of Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3. Jesus said, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And the emphasis last week was simply on the fact that that's the purpose of the sower. He's supposed to go sow the seed. And he's just supposed to do what a sower is supposed to do. And a sower is like what is recorded in Psalm 126 verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We see in our text that in verse 4, and when he sowed. We see in verse 5, some fell upon stony places. We see in verse 7, and some fell among thorns. And in verse 8, but other fell into good ground. So we see that the sower went forth and sowed. He did what he's supposed to do. He took the seed and he cast it out there. And he was putting the seed out and putting the seed out and putting the seed out. That's what's supposed to happen. The sower didn't necessarily take the seed and say, okay, now let's see here. Let's get a soil sample here and let's look at this. And oh no, that's the wayside. We don't want to plant there. And no, he didn't do that. He just sowed the seed and got the seed out there. And listen, sometimes we can be a little bit critical. We can be a little bit, I don't know, bad in our judgment. But we'll look at somebody, and they just don't look like the type that would trust Christ as their Savior, whatever that is. And we say, well, no, I don't think I'm going to put the seed there. Well, who gave you the right to choose that? You know, like I tell my kids, who made you the father? No, you don't get to decide. I decide. And God says, you don't get to decide. I decide. He says, a sower went forth to sow. Just sow the seed. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to those who look like they're deserving. To those who fit the part. To those that would be profitable to the church. To every creature. Every. And we've got to understand that the sower is to sow the seed. And yes, I know many times, and we're going to be talking about this today, the different types of the ground. But a lot of times churches and individuals are focused on the types of the ground. That's not your concern. That's his concern. Your concern is to sow the seed. A sower went forth to sow. Then we talked about the seed itself, how the seed is the word of God. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, the same recording of the story tells us, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Okay, that gives us a definition of what the seed is. It is the word of God. What is it we're supposed to be putting out there? Our Baptist theology? Our opinions? Our theological ideology? No. The Word of God. That's what we're supposed to be putting out there. You know what won't return void? The Word of God. You know what changes the hearts of men? The Word of God. You know what draws people to the Lord Jesus Christ? The Word of God. This book, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by your ideology. No. By the Word of God. You understand that the Word of God is what changes a life. The Word of God is what springs up inside of a person and draws us to the Savior. And it's faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Titus chapter 2, we read last week, Second Timothy chapter 4. I saw the 2 and the T-I. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Preach the word, he told Timothy. Not preach what you think. Not preach your opinions. But preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned
unto fables. They'll believe something else. But we're still supposed to be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine from the Word of God. We're supposed to preach the Word. The Word of God is the seed that is to be sown into this world. Do you know what? It doesn't matter what they do with it. We're supposed to preach it. It doesn't matter if it takes root in their lives. If it falls upon the right kind of ground, we're still supposed to sow the seed. Just throw it out there. Now, we talked about that the ground was the heart of man. In verse 19 of the text, it says here that when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. The heart of man is one of those tricky things. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? This week we took the teenagers up to a youth conference in Oklahoma City. And we had a good time, and one of the speakers made reference to this, and I have said this many times. It's really how I feel about it, because it's a biblical principle. But don't tell people to follow their heart. That's a bad idea. Okay? Don't do that. Just follow your heart. No, don't do that. It'll lead you astray. It'll lead you the wrong direction. Follow the Word of God. Follow God. Do not follow your heart. The tricky thing about it is we've got to be the right kind of heart, the right kind of ground. And there are these four circumstances here that are given to us in Scripture. And if you'll turn your Bible to Mark chapter 4, and you say, well, you were just reading in Matthew. Yes, we've read it twice now. There are three accounts of this in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The same story, and we're going to look at these today together. So we see that the heart of man is a tricky thing. In Romans chapter 10, while you're turning there to Mark chapter 4, it says in verses 8 through 13, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The heart of man is where the seed of the Word of God is sown. And that's what we need to focus on in our lives as believers. Those of us that are here that do know for sure if you die today you're going to heaven, because you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're the sowers. And what are you supposed to sow? The seed. Where are you supposed to sow it? In the hearts of mankind. You don't get to determine whether or not the ground that you're sowing in is worthy of the seed. God will take care of that. God will take care of that. But can I tell you something about the Bible? The Bible wants us to be wise. Anybody have an argument there? No. And you know what? How many of you think that there are perhaps good farmers and bad farmers out there in this world? Yeah. You say, well, there's probably more good ones than bad. Yes, because the bad ones have already failed. Hey, they didn't bring enough crops to pay the bills, right? But can I tell you something? Do you think farmers learn the best way to sow the seed? To get the optimum out of their harvest and out of their crops? Right? So how do the careless farmers do? Not so well. And the wise farmers, they do better than others, right? Everybody okay with that? Yeah. Same is true with Christians. Be wise. Be wise. How do we be wise? We learn. We gain in knowledge. We gain in understanding. God wants us to understand. Remember what Jesus said about this parable. He was teaching the multitude, right? But what did he say about the multitude? That they weren't going to understand it. Isn't that what he said? Who was going to understand it? The disciples. So in a way, who was he really telling the parable for? The disciples. Why? He wanted them to learn. He wanted them to learn. He wanted them to grow. He wanted them to sow the seed of the Word of God in the hearts of mankind. You know, the Bible tells me that the end of this age is not going to be good for us. That less and less people are going to hear the gospel. That less and less people are going to decide to trust Christ. Is that given to me to kind of be discouraged and give up and die? No. It's to be wise, to be knowledgeable, that, hey, I might have to fight through a little bit more to get a little bit more. Yeah. So I might need to sow some more seed because some's going to fall on the wayside. Some's going to fall on the stony ground. Some's going to be sown among the thorns. And some is going to fall on good ground. So I've got to sow more seed. It pays to be wise about what task we are about. God wants us to learn. And so as we look at part two of the sower went forth to sow, we're going to look at the different types of ground that we may be sowing seed upon. To be able to understand that sometimes when we go out and give a gospel tract, that it's not going to get into the heart of that person. That's okay. Can I tell you that's okay? It's okay to knock on a door and to be rejected by that individual. That just means you just keep sowing the seeds. It's okay that maybe somebody comes and visits and then never comes back again. That's okay. Or they come for a while and then something draws them away. That's okay. And some of it's going to stick and it's going to multiply and do what it's supposed to do. That's great. But it helps to understand so that we keep being the sower that went out to sow. And that we keep sowing the seed, no matter what ground it falls upon. You see, folks, we need to understand the parable of the sower. So, here we are in Mark chapter 4, right? Look at verse 15. Mark chapter 4 and verse 15. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Hey, we have an adversary. We have an adversary. Satan does not want people receiving the seed of the word of God in their hearts. Does not want it. It does not want it. In Matthew chapter 13, in verse 19, it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Luke 8:12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. These three verses give us great insight to the hard ground. The hard ground. Those that perhaps do not understand, those that perhaps hear and dismiss, those that perhaps hear and Satan puts a thought in their heart or has control over their lives and they ignore the truth of the Word of God, that's going to happen when you sow the seed. It's going to happen. There are going to be people out there who perhaps scoff or mock or make fun of or have no time for God and His salvation. Can I tell you something? I don't like it, But that's okay. I'm still going to sow the seed.
Oh, I'm going to give them the seed. I'm going to give them the gospel. And guess what? I may even try to replant.
Because I'm just that stubborn. Friend of mine, farmer up in North Dakota, family friend, he replanted his soybean crop 3 times this spring. He's just a stubborn farmer. He's going to get that crop in there because he wants to survive, you know, one of those good farmers.
3 times.
Frost killed one. Hailstorm killed one. Something else. I don't remember what it was. 3 times he had to replant. Amazing. Sometimes somebody takes a track, rips it up, throws it on the ground. Maybe if I see that person again, I might try again. I said, what if they punch you? I guess I should turn the other cheek, right? I have to be careful not to punch back. Okay. But you know, we need to, it's hard ground. Can I tell you something? Do you think the devil has some people duped? Confused? Oh yeah. Blinded? Those are his tactics. Hey, do you think he's good at what he does as an adversary? Oh, he's very successful. But we're supposed to sow the seed. Even if it falls on hard ground, some will not be saved. Some will have the seed of the Word of God taken out of their hearts. Because Satan is not a lazy adversary. Do you notice there it says that he's going to come immediately? He's going to do it quickly. And he's going to come, even sometimes violently, and take it and steal it out of their possession. Maybe by circumstances. Maybe by philosophy. Maybe by rational thinking. Or perhaps some other thing. Or maybe even religion. Yes, the devil uses religion. He loves religion. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, he's going to do something to remove the seed that was sown from the heart of mankind. In Proverbs 21:29 says, a wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. Proverbs 28:14 says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You know, pride is a really big factor in the hard ground. You know, there are many people that refuse salvation because they're too proud to receive it. Too proud to receive the gift of the Word of God. Can I tell you something? What entity introduced this thing of pride into our world? Anybody know? Oh yeah, his name was Lucifer. He's now known as the devil, Satan, that old dragon, whatever you want to call him. That's what he is. You understand, he understands pride. He understands arrogance. He understands those things. Can I tell you something? Humanism is permeating our society today. Secular humanism. It's even permeating our churches today. You know where it comes from? Genesis chapter 3. And ye shall be as gods. Yeah. Satan's the author of it. And it's the hard ground. We need to understand. In Mark chapter 3, it says, and he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Now, anybody argue with me that the Pharisees and Sadducees were of a hard heart? They had themselves hardened their hearts. I don't even think the devil had to try very hard to steal away the word of God out of these guys' hearts. And he saith unto the man that hath the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? I love Jesus' questions. If you want to learn how to deal with people, you should practice what Jesus did. He was a little edgy. Maybe that's why I'm the way I am. to save life or to kill, but they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. Let's stop up for a second here. Did Jesus want the Pharisees to be saved? The Sadducees? The scribes? The elders? Oh, yes. Did he cast the seed of the word of God to them? Oh, he did. Did he withhold it and say, I'm not going to give it to them because their hearts are too hard? No. The Bible says here that he was grieved. He was grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand, and stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. He still did the miracles. He still put out the word, even though their hearts were hard. Matthew 19, verses 21 and 22, the Bible says, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, there are things in this world that keep us from receiving the seed of the word of God in our hearts. Maybe at one time you were of a hard heart. And maybe in your testimony, in your experience, the seed of the word of God was sown many times before you received it. Aren't you glad that a sower went forth to sow? And a sower went forth to sow. And a sower went forth to sow. And a sower went forth to sow. Even though your heart was hard. All I'm trying to say is we just got to understand that there is some hard ground out there. Just be wise about it. Don't give up. Don't give up for the hardness of their hearts. Don't give up for the devil stealing away the seed of the word of God out of their hearts. Sow it again. And again. And again. And again. Stony ground. Back to Mark chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no roots in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the world's sake, or for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. In Matthew 13, the same story. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while, and for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And in Luke 8:13, and they on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away. So here we have stony ground. And if you're a farmer or familiar with agriculture, you can grow plants in stony ground. But not very well. Not very well. It's difficult. Because you know what a plant needs? Soil. It needs the nutrients. And guess what rocks don't provide? Yeah, that. Exactly. You know what a Christian needs, a baby Christian needs? They need a stable church. They need good ground. They need the word of God. They need a steady diet of it because they don't have that in and of themselves. It needs to be brought in. You know what I learned over in Arlington when we lived there for 15 years? The home that we had and the land that we had, I could dig until I couldn't dig any longer physically. And all I got would be sand. Is that red sand. You know what I'm talking about? That Texas red sand. Good stuff. It's better than that clay gumbo stuff that we have most of the places. But can I tell you something? It doesn't grow plants very well. So if I wanted a garden, Or if I wanted to grow grass, you know what I needed to do? Bring in some good soil. Go bring in some dirt or add some organic material to it so that the plants could have substance and could grow. Hey, listen, a lot of times Baptists are kind of stigmatized on this thing that, oh, we go out there and win them to Christ, but then we don't work with them. They receive the word of God with joy, but then they just kind of wither away. Oh, we got to stop that. We need that not to take place. But can I tell you something that's going to happen sometimes? The seed of the word of God is sometimes going to be sown on stony ground. We just need to understand. It says that these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. It says when they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Remember, Jesus was teaching some hard sayings. And he said that he taught these hard sayings, and some departed from him and did not follow him anymore. Because the sayings were hard. You know, sometimes the sayings are hard. We have a choice. Are we going to be one that has stony ground in our hearts or good ground? How deep is it going to go? It's going to matter with what you add to the soil. You know, the rocks could be the things of this world. The difficulties. We need to get those out. Remove them. You know what a farmer does if he comes up, maybe the land he owns is full of rocks. You know what he does? Goes and picks out the rocks. I've driven through a lot of the state of North Dakota. You could imagine, that's where I was born and raised. You can imagine that there are a lot of farms in North Dakota. Okay? One of the statements we make about our beautiful state in North Dakota is that there are more cows than people. Okay? So you understand, I'm used to farming. I grew up out in a farm. We had 5 acres, we had horses, we had chickens, we had a big garden. My grandpas were both farmers. So I understand farming. You know what I see a lot of out in North Dakota? Rock piles. You know why I see a lot of rock piles? Because there were too many rocks in the fields. Got to get the rocks out. You don't just give up. You don't just not sow the seed. You do what you can. In Ecclesiastes chapter 33, it says, "And also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song, or of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them." See, the people of God have had this issue of a stony ground all along. Ephesians chapter 4 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So these that the seed falls upon in the stony ground, they do believe. And there is real joy and excitement. There is salvation. But they're quickly offended because of persecution, because of affliction, because of the hard sayings of the word of God, or in time of temptation are led away and fall back. You know how easy it is to go back to the world? It's really easy, actually. It's really easy. You know how difficult it is to stay on the right path? Difficult. Now listen, it's worth it. It's worth it. And boy, it sure hurts to go back to the world. But like I said, it's easy. the stony ground. Back to our text in Mark chapter 4. Look at verses 18 and 19. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. In Luke 18, 14, the sister passage here, it says, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. In Matthew 13, 22, he also that received the seed among thorns is he that heareth the word and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becometh unfruitful. Can I tell you something? There are things that are going to grow up in your life that are going to deter you from living as Christ would have you live. Does that mean you don't sow the seed? No, you sow the seed. You know what we can do? We can help pull out the thorns. We can help pull out the weeds. You know what? We've got to understand that we have a job to do as a sower. To sow the seed. And sometimes the seed is going to fall upon the hard ground. And sometimes the seed is going to fall upon the stony ground. And sometimes there are going to be thorns in the ground with the seed. The thorny ground. And it's going to grow up. Hey, listen. How many of you have experienced times of blessing? And it's actually been a curse. Because it caused you to turn away from the Word of God. You know, sometimes we as people, we get comfortable. You know what happens when we get comfortable? We get lazy. We let our guard down. Why? Because things are going well. I don't need to pray as much. I don't need to read my Bible as much. I've got money in my pocket. The house payment's being made. I've got food to eat. Everything's great. Now, we shouldn't think that way, but that does happen. In our lives. We need God. In the bad times. And the good times. Oftentimes I'll tell about coming to this old altar here. You ought to come if God's speaking to you. To correct something in your life. And you ought to come here if God's not speaking to you. For two reasons. One, you may be out of fellowship that bad. Or if you are in fellowship and everything is good in your life, yeah, just come and just kiss on him a little bit. Love on him a little bit. Thank him a little bit for what he's done for you. You know, a lot of times in the teaching community, the good kids are ignored. And the bad kids are always given all the attention. That's horrible. You say, well, I don't need to do anything with the good kids because they're good kids. Yeah, well, that's the problem. They're going to turn into bad kids. Because you're ignoring them. Now, just because things are good doesn't mean you just forget about God. That's what Israel did. We have story after story after story and account after account after account of Israel going like this big old roller coaster because when they were fat, dumb, and happy, they forgot God. That's not how it's supposed to be. We've got to avoid the thorny ground. In Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You understand that the thorny ground is a stumbling block to many believers. It says in these passages of scripture that we read that they're choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, bringing no fruit to perfection. That the word is choked, the seed is choked, and it becometh unfruitful. You know what that alludes to? That it was fruitful at one time. It becometh unfruitful. You understand that there are some that hear the word of God and grow up and become a fruitful plant, and they're choked by the cares of this world. They're choked with the riches and pleasure of this life. And it keeps them from producing fruit like they're supposed to. Does that mean we don't sow the seed? No. A sower went forth to sow. And then everybody's favorite, back to Mark chapter 4. In verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. But on that good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And in Matthew 13, but he that received the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold. Some 60, some 30. You understand that this is the goal. Everybody okay with that? I mean, if you have a garden in your backyard, right? A lot of times, you'll make sure that the soil is prepared. You may even have a raised garden bed, perhaps. And you brought in soil from a nursery or a place, and you've got the compost right, you've got the pH right, you've got the all the things right, and you've got the nutrients that it needs, and you've got your perfect little rows and your little stakes, and you've got everything. And in your house, you have your little seedlings, and they're going, and they have all the things. And you have taken out all the elements, the hard ground, the stony ground, the thorny ground. There's nothing that can keep you from producing an hundredfold. Hey, that's great. I can tell you, life's not like that. Some's going to fall on the good ground, and that's going to be wonderful. But some's going to fall on the thorny ground. Some's going to fall on the stony ground. Some's going to fall on hard ground. You understand that God wants us to produce. He wants the ground of our heart to be good and deep and fertile and supporting of the seed of the word of God. It's not always going to be like that. But for those that it is, it's a wonderful thing. And listen, we were privileged to be able to purchase a home in this market. That's quite an accomplishment. Let me just tell you. And God did it for our family. And he's doing it for some others in our church family as well. But can I tell you something? We inherited a beautiful peach tree. Some of you got to enjoy some of that fruit on that peach tree. And you know what? I didn't count, but there had to be over 300 peaches on that peach tree. It was a lot because we had buckets and buckets and buckets of peaches. And we gave a majority of them away. Can I tell you that tree did a good job? Because it was in good ground. Had good nutrients. Good support structure. And it's a mature tree. You know what? That happens. And that's wonderful. And we should rejoice. But if all you do as a sower is just simply do that, we're going to miss out on so much more. You understand that God wants us to grow up in Him and become a fruitful tree. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Listen to what Jesus says. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Good ground. Solid ground. And some seed is going to fall there. But can I tell you? That's not the sower's. The hard ground, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. All of those grounds are out there in this world. And a sower went forth to sow. Sowing the seed of the word of God. And we ought to rejoice in the opportunity we have to put the seed out there. And just maybe that won't be hard ground. And just maybe it won't be stony ground. And just maybe it won't be thorny ground. But it just maybe it'll be good ground. I'm willing to take that chance. Are you? Hey, there's gospel tracts at that back rack in there as you go out the door. You know what? Don't worry about the cost of the seed. It's been taken care of. Just start getting it out there everywhere. Don't be judgmental and say, well, oh, they won't receive Christ, so I'm not going to give them a tract. How do you know? You have no idea. Do you have a ground detector? A soil testing kit? Oh, nope. Yep. Okay, here's a tract for you. Nope, no tract for you. Throw the seed out there. Amen. Sower went forth to sow. Pays to be wise. If you got to, pick the rocks. If you've got to, pull the weeds. And even with the good ground, if you've got to, purge the branches. The sower went forth to sow.